So this morning, battle plan. Battle plan. Now, if we had a tough week and so on, here's the reality, tough weeks are going to come. And my week was nice. It was a tough week. But like I said, I wanted to preach this last week already. And when I prayed about this and I was pondering about this, I think the one thing that I discerned as a major attack on at least my life and maybe some of your lives as well was a financial attack that was coming and that was trying to pull me down and break me down and so on. And I just realized that I need to recognize it for what it is. Okay? And not spin out because of what I am seeing or perceiving, but actually recognize it. So I want us to, if you've got a Bible, go to 1 Samuel 17 on your phone or anything. And I want to encourage you to actually go read 1 Samuel 17, the whole thing. And in 1 Samuel 17, it reveals so much of this battle that we face every day, every week, and the things that is going on in our lives. It reveals that our enemy is serious about frustrating us or hindering the will of God in our lives. If we want to walk this walk in love that we are entering in as a family, we have to recognize that there will be opposition. The moment you say, I want to do something for Jesus, you can expect opposition. And we would be foolish to think that it's just going to be easy and think that nothing's going to happen. But we need to understand what the enemy's battle plan is, and we need to understand what our response is to his strategies. And that's what we want to look at this morning. So 1 Samuel 17, 1 to 11, you all know the story. But it says, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. So this was serious. And they were gathered in Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side and Israel on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. So you have this picture, right? Israel on this side and the Philistines on that side, and we have this valley between them. And there's a battle about to take place. This is war. So it's not a dinner, all right? There's some guys with some serious tools to want. They will kill you, all right? So in verse 8, we carry on. We say, he stood. This is now Goliath, all right? So between the verses here, they explain who Goliath is, which was quite a big dude, just under 3 meters high. It's about maybe slightly higher than the ceiling. I think this is 2.5. Yeah, this is 2.5. Yeah, so it's about a 500 mil higher. The one problem I would have had with Goliath is that he always looks down at me. So he's was quite a his spear weighed what was it? I think it was 43 kilograms, just the beam of his spear. So just think of the Goliath. I mean, he probably had muscles where I wish I had muscles, and he was a big guy. So Goliath comes down, and then he stood on the and shouted at the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out and draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine?" So guess what? He knows who he is, right? And he says, "Are you not the servants of Saul?" Now, just pause here quickly. The context of this, in the previous chapters, Saul does not kill the king. So God rejects Saul. And God goes, "Saul, you're not my man anymore. I'm going to anoint David." Now, when I read this, very subtly, what Scripture actually reveals here to us, where Israel was known as the people of God, right? They are God's people. What does the Philistine do here? He does not recognize, because listen, the Philistines knew that God was for Israel. They have fought many battles over the years. They knew when God pitched on the battlefield for Israel, they had no chance. But even in the spiritual realm, the devil knew what was going on in Saul's life. And he uses Goliath here to speak this over them, that the people of Israel are now whose? The servants of Saul. It's like they've been removed from God. And I want to say to you that in your journey with God, make sure that you obey God. Because the last thing you want to do is get yourself in a position where the devil knows that you are no longer with God and God is no longer with you. Because of sin, because of disobedience, because of lacking of following Christ, that you are being separated from him. And here he sits, Saul on his own. Now I must just tell you, Saul was a big guy. Scripture says he was shoulders up higher than anyone in Israel. That means even the tallest guy in Israel, he was taller than him. So Saul in itself is not a small, it's not a small guy. And what surprises me about the story is that why did he not go out? I mean, it's big dude against big dude. So why did Saul not go like, he was recht boykie? You know why? Because he knew God was not with him. He knew the sin that was in his life. And you know what? It broke all his confidence. He had no confidence to face the enemies of God because they were God's people, right? So in our lives, let's make sure we are walking tightly with our God. All right? Okay. And then he says, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. Have you learned anything from movies? Because in movies, when an enemy says to you, this is the rules of engagement, what's the rules of engagement? It's not whatever he says, because he'll still kill you. So I smile at this because it's like, okay, so if you kill me, then the rest of my nation will, you know, just submit to you. You're right. There will still be war. Okay? And we see it in this chapter after he gets killed. All right? But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. How many times in your life has the devil pitched and defied the very presence of God in your life through what he says and what he communicates and what he does? He says God is not real in your life. And this is what the devil is doing through Goliath to Israel right here now. He says, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man and we will fight together. When Saul, look at this. When Saul and all Israel, listen, it doesn't just say some is of Israel. All Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Is that not what happens when we face stuff? We become dismayed, we become despondent. In some cases, we actually become fearful. And we need to recognize the plan of the devil in our lives when he comes against us this morning, because saints, we are serious about this kingdom mandate that's upon our lives. We want to fulfill the purposes of God in this season, in this lifetime, for us as a congregation, as a gathering of the saints. So when the devil comes to us and says, you cannot do this, and he says, I defy God in your lives, what do we need to do? Become dismayed and fearful? No. Right. So there's three things on the next slide that you can see. Three things. The accuser will always draw the battle line. The accuser will come. He will draw a battle line and he will challenge your faith. Because he doesn't like your faith. He even doesn't like the fact that you're trusting in God. So the devil will come and he will draw up a battle line against your life. And what is his agenda? He wants to make God look small in your life. He wants to make God look like nothing. He wants to break your confidence in your God. He wants to defy the very presence of God in your life. I want to say to you, you are alone. You are on your own. Nothing. I will kill you. You will not make it. You know why we as Christians do not fear death? Because he has overcome death. And he decides when I die, not the devil. The second one is, he will always want to fight you on his terms. The devil will always fight you on his terms. He's, you know, what does Goliath do? He steps out and says, I've got this big spear, I've got my sword, I've got my armor. Come, what are you going to do? And if you think of it from David's point of view, I mean, he's got a little frocky on. He's got a slinger filiki and a few stones. And when you look at that, just serious, straight up, what chance does this poor guy have? I mean, that guy's got chainmail on and a helmet with a linky. I never know how they can see with that little. Huh? And I mean, this guy is ready, man. I mean, plus he's a big dude. And the devil will always come to you and look massive. You will always look scary. And you will always feel inferior. Why? Because that's his place of battle. And if you step into that and you try and overcome him in his way, you will never succeed. You see, we cannot rely on our own weapons, on our thoughts and our plans and our abilities. We cannot fight the enemy from our point of reason or, you know, our wisdom or anything. We have to choose a different way. The third thing, fear will always accompany the challenge of the devil in your life. He will always want you to be fearful. So if you are fearful about anything that you are facing currently, then maybe you should recognize the enemy's strategy in your life and go, yeah. You actually have to take authority over that fear in your life and reject it. Because once fear moves into your life, once it takes up residence, once it starts making fire and having a braai in your life, then you have a problem. Because then getting rid of it becomes a bit of a process. And then you need to stand. And many times you need your saints and people around you to help you get free from that. But here's the thing, Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. He has to. So here's a few other things that in this portion of Scripture that we see the devil's strategy. The first thing, other than those three, is this. The plan might extend over a long period of time. If trials were only short, we probably all would have been a lot finer. But when a trial, you know, goes over 40 days or 3 months or 2 years or whatever, standing becomes a bit of an issue. In verse 16, it says, for 40 days, the Philistine came down forward and said, took his stand morning and evening. So there was this consistent harassment from Goliath saying, I defy the armies of Israel. Your God is nothing. Just come and fight me. You know what? If they did that, they would have been killed. Because they had no faith in God, if I look at the previous scripture. So when that happens, when the enemy might look relentless. He might seem to want to come and come and come, and he doesn't get in. Recognize his strategy. The second thing, the fifth thing then, is he might use people and sometimes even leaders to discourage you. If we look at this, verse 28, his brother. Now Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? So he sort of takes on his day job as well. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart. So now he sees the heart as well. For you have come down to see the battle. Now the truth is, David continually went up between his father and the army to bring food and so on. I mean, for 40 days, what? So there was help from home. Food coming in continually. And David going, and now Eliab is saying, you're just here for the fight, man. But even in that, it says a lot of who David was. He was like, me, not going to let the enemy talk to my people like this. And then verse 33, Saul said to David, you are not, look at this, you are not able to stand against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. He says, snot near, man, you're not going to do this. There's no place for you in this army. You're not able to do this. How many times has the devil said this to you? You are not able to stand. You will not overcome this. You are not going to have any victory. Why? Because you're stupid. Whatever his accusation is. So Saul here became a tool in the enemy's hand to say that you cannot do it. And we must not allow it. When people say that, we need to reject this and hear what God is saying to me at this point. I need to take up scripture. I need to take up the word of God. I need to get God's perspective of where he is going with me, not necessarily what people said. I've obeyed God in the past, where Loretta and I clearly heard God, but everybody else says no. And they have very good reasons why we should not obey. But the one thing that I've learned is once God has spoken to you, if he says anything, you best obey, regardless of what people say. Because you rather want to be obedient to God than obey people. All right? Then the next one. He might present you with faulty strategies to deal with your problem. Verse 38. Then Saul, and I don't get this. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. Practically, just think about this. So Saul is head and shoulders above everybody. Yes, David, short. You know, Bible describes him, short, lighty, red hair. And he goes like, you put on my armor. Why did not Saul go in the army and say, hey, is there anybody with the same size as this dude? Can we get your armor? No. He says, you put on my armor. My faithlessness, my trust in my own stuff. Maybe if you trust what I'm doing, then you will succeed. Maybe my armor will help you, David. So David puts it on. And he goes, he put a helmet of bronze on his head. I just want to imagine I'll lose that thing. One, clothed him with coat mail. I mean, even they probably wouldn't be able to walk. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go. Can you get that picture? And he's paralyzed by trying to use a strategy and a plan that is not of God in this moment. It's a faulty strategy. And then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, obviously, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Sometimes you have to get rid of stuff. Maybe that people are saying that you should do, and maybe you should hear what God is saying you should do. You will not overcome the way people necessarily suggest you. You know, my victories in my life, my faith walk, does not apply in exact way on your life. There might be similarities. But your faith walk with God looks different than mine. Because you are unique. Yeah, and I love that about God. Even in our trials, he is with us in that uniqueness of who you are. The next one. The enemy will try to intimidate you to the very end. So David goes down, he picks up his little stones, and he goes to Goliath, and Goliath goes like, hit the target if you can. No, he doesn't. He says, the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. So even when he enters the battle, the enemy doesn't back off. And when we enter the battle, saints, we need to understand that the enemy doesn't suddenly go like, ooh, I get so bang for you. You know, you're so scary. I'm sorry I bothered you, you know. Sorry. My humble apologies. No. He takes a step forward. He goes like, come. What are you going to do? And I love it. And David goes like, David doesn't go like, okay, he stands afar, maybe gets like a spot, puts his stone in and swings it. No, the scripture says he rushed to the battlefront. He rushed towards Goliath. He had his little stone in there, and he was like, it was nothing passive about it, was it? Sometimes we try and do battle from our couch. Scared. And even when we're in fear, then we don't have victory. The next one, our battle plan. How do we respond? This is the good news. If I look at David's life. Firstly, walk in obedience to the leaders and to God. Walk obedience to the leaders God is placing you, the people of authority over your life. Walk in obedience. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 17:17, and Jesse said to David his son, take your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. David could have gone, Dad, I have a few sheep that I need to tend to. Some of them are lambing right now or who knows what. You know, I just last week killed the bear. I know he's still in the area, so I need to protect the sheep. So he could have defended, but yet he said, yes, Father, and he took his stuff and went to the battleground. Scripture says that those that has been placed over you, God has ordained to watch over your soul. And you need to trust them and walk in obedience. Do not neglect your responsibilities for your fleshly desires and your ambitions. Get to what God wants you to do. Next one, have a different spirit. A faith perspective. Because this is, when I read this, probably the most incredible thing that I saw in David's life, and what stood out for me from the whole story, is he just had a different perspective of what was going on right here. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. This is probably on day 40. So David comes and says, don't worry, I've got this. Well, at least not I've got this, my God's got this. Because that's what he actually says to Saul. Your servant will go down and fight this Philistine. So David, because of his relationship with God, because of the journey that he's walked, understood that this battle is over before it started. And his God has given him the victory. He was not afraid of what the enemy said, the threats he breathed, and everything that he did. Even his lack of battle experience did not withhold him from going into the situation. Even just that, the grounds of him going there, people could have said, but you know nothing, man. Why are you doing this? But he went not in his own strength, but in the name of the Lord, if I read that portion. The next one, remember your victories. In verse 37, David said, the Lord who had delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. The Lord will deliver you. Amen. And the devil knows it. But he will not let that happen because he's going to shout like a mad thing and breathe insults and accusations against you. The next one is that we need to stay with what has been tested and advance to the battle line. We need to go forward. Then verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. And the last one, make sure your enemy is dead. You see, when the rock hit, and scripture says the rock hit him and it sank into his forehead. Now, most of us know when that happens medically, it's good night. Light switch off, that's the end. David didn't go like, I know he's had it. No, verse 50. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword. Remember, this is Goliath's sword. Not. I wonder what that looked. This small dude. Okay. And drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut his head with it. When the Philistines saw, and see, this is where the lie. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, what did they do? We submit to you, Israel. We'll be your servants. Don't trust the enemy. He's always lying. They ran away. They ran away. But make sure your enemy is there. Cut the head off. Don't leave it on the serpent. Don't leave that thing and allow it to get up at some point and bite you. You need to take care of it. Deal with it in the spirit. And don't allow it back in your life.
Amen.
And then we can overcome. By the way, he had a few other brothers. David didn't just kill Goliath. He killed a whole lot of them. The other four stones was for the brothers. There were five brothers, Goliath. Five of them walking this earth. So your enemy is not alone. He's got, I want to say backup. Brothers. You take care of them all. Do not fear, because God is with you. He is for you. So just in closing, the enemy's plan, the accuser will draw the battle line and challenge your faith. He will always want you to fight on his terms. Fear will accompany his challenge. His plan might extend over long periods of time. He will use people and even leaders sometimes to discourage you, through whom he will present faulty strategies to you to deal with your problem. He will try and intimidate you to the very end. Recognize the work of the devil in your life. And then our battle plan, saints, is walk in obedience to the leaders that God has placed around you and to God above all. Walk with a faith perspective. Get God's view of the problem. Remember the victories, the overcomings that you had, the answered prayers, the miracles that you've seen. Remember what God has done and trust that God who came through for you to come through again for you in this situation. Stay with the tested walk and will of God in your life. Stay with the things that God says that will work. Do not try other people or internet or YouTube or whatever strategies. Hear from the Lord yourself. Saints, it breaks my heart when people are going through stuff and they are searching YouTube and then they find something and they said, but the Lord led me to this. You know, sorry, but that's a cop-out for going into your inner room, shutting your door, getting on your knees and praying and hearing God for yourself. Hear the Lord your God. He's more interested in speaking to you and revealing his plans and strategies to you than what you are willing to listen. Stop thinking that SMSs and WhatsApp messages and YouTube stuff that pops up on your screen is God. Yes, may he use that. Yes, he can. But please do not let that substitute that place where you go on your knees and you have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It frustrates the living daylights out of me. Because the devil can send you WhatsApp too. And then it's the wrong strategy, it's the wrong plan for your life, and you're following something, and then you go later, but God, where were you? But you did not take the time to seek his face.
Amen.
I don't want to be an accuser this morning, maybe you think I am, but what I want to say to you is there's a God who loves you so much, that wants to draw close to you, that wants to fellowship with you, and walk with you, and love on you. And we are not willing to sit with him because I'm busy. Maybe we should reprioritize our lives. Maybe you should get up earlier. Oh, but I'm not a morning person. Maybe it's not about you. Maybe it's sacrificially coming before God saying, I cannot stay awake. Help, Yere. I told the story many times. I had a leader who was so desperate to hear from God that in the mornings he went into his bathroom, stood on the bath with the bath underneath him and the taps there to make sure he stays awake while he has quiet time. Because he knew if he fell asleep, it ain't going to be pretty. But he was desperate to hear God and he changed his life to hear God. What are you and I going to change to hear God? What am I going to say no to? 10 minutes later sleep, half an hour more sleep. So if you're not a morning person, what then happens in the evening?
Ja varam su tired.
Well, maybe that's why you should get up before you get tired. Stay with the tested will of God. Don't try and do it your way. You know, this life, saints, is not about us. This walk of faith is not about us. It's about yielding, living a life of laying down my life before Him and allowing Him to minister me. And then advance to the battle line. I can tell you, if you do not spend your time with God, if you are not tight and close-knit with Him, I would say you will probably never run towards the battleground. Because you will be fearful, uncertain, not knowing what needs to happen. But when you, listen, I think all of us sitting here can testify. When you have the word of the Lord, when God tells you something and you know that it's Him, nothing stops you. Nothing can stop you. Advance to that battle line. And then make sure the head is off. Don't allow the devil to do anything in your life further. Let's stand.